Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Imperfect Brilliance. I am your host, Betsy McLaughlin. And today's topic, oh my gosh, today's topic is about doing the impossible. And I always ask the radio show who it would enjoy and who you guys would enjoy listening to. And the answer for today was my amazing guest, Aradhana Tiwari. And she lives in India, and she is a certified facilitator with Access Consciousness like I am, which is how I met her. And she's also a Being You certified facilitator. And she recently climbed Mount Everest. And so I thought, oh my gosh, what an amazing story that I cannot wait to hear way more about. So have you ever desired to create something in your life and you decided that it was impossible? And I can only imagine some of the stories that we're going to hear today about weathering intense storms on the mountains, and how can we apply those tips about what she has accomplished and the things that I'm sure she had to overcome. How can you apply these things to your life, whatever it is you're doing? So, and if a storm strikes, do you run for cover or do you forge ahead? So a little bit about my beautiful guest. She has been working in the corporate world for 10 years. She's had positions. She is just an amazing, amazing, amazing being. And if you say impossible is a word in a dictionary of fools, what if that's been, she says it's been the mantra of her life. And every time it's impossible, it becomes her challenge and fun journey to explore it. And she's got, oh gosh, like graduate degrees, and she's worked in TV and post-production and industrial chemistry, and she's got an MBA for international business marketing. So not only is she beautiful, she is also extremely intelligent. So I can just go on and on about how amazing you are, but let me stop talking now and say welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Betsy, for having me here. How did I get so lucky to be here? Thank you for inviting me.
You're so welcome. So I guess, you know, I'm going to just jump right in with how in the world did you decide you were going to start climbing summits and you were going to climb Mount Everest? Tell us how that started.
It was not the Mount Everest. So I had done the Mount Everest base camp this year, but I have done Everest earlier too. So mm-hmm. when I was growing up as a little child, I always wondered what trekking meant. And I had no clue what trekking is, but I knew that you have to go climb or hike something, and you have to keep walking all the time. Uh-huh. And it was so funny that my parents never would allow that. And every time I asked for it, somebody or the else said, no, it's, I mean, you rather go for a luxury holiday. Why would you like to go and, you know, be in the hills and mountains and you do not know what happens there? But it was always there within me that I wanted to do, because it's like nothing is impossible for me. So I'm like, really, can I not do it? And I just asked, mm-hmm. and that was my ask in my world somewhere from my childhood. And then I had always connected with Everest somehow. Mm-hmm. So this was my second hike, the second trek to the Everest. So wow. I had done that through another route in 2017. And mm-hmm. then again, and I remember going, and my friend just mentioned that he was taking his trek mates to Mount Everest Base Camp. And wow. it was a week earlier I met him, and I was like, can I come along with you? And he said, yeah, you look fit, so that's okay. Are you sure you want to come in? I said, yeah, sure. And I just go mm-hmm. and shop, and it was like a quick decision. And I did not listen to anybody. And then I just like jumped into it. And I just started trekking, and I remember every step I took. I wow. was like, who the hell asked me to be here? What made me choose this? I would never suggest this to anybody ever. And it was funny. And I was like, now what do I do? What do I be? And I always also go with this, never give up, never give in, never quit. Mm. And I'm like, okay, we'll do it. We'll do it. I would stand and I would ask the contribution of everything around me. I would ask the plants, I would ask the hills, I would ask mountains, the ice, every molecule there to contribute to me and the earth. And I'm like, hey guys, can you help me climb this much? Can you help me climb this much? And I'm so grateful for you to be here. And what can you contribute and what can I contribute here while going up there? And that was so amazing, Betsy. It was like, oh my God. It was like everything looking at me, smiling, giggling. And I would get a breath and I would go up and go up. And it was, I had so much insight and I kept crying while walking through it. I'm like, wow, everything I've ever asked in my life is so here. Everything is always contributing and gifting me, which I never could have looked at.
Wow.
It was a beautiful journey how it started. And I remember that that trek, though I had enough awarenesses, I did go through a lot of experiences within me. I was like, hey, guys, I'm not going to. And my friends kept telling me, you know, the moment they go back home, they would love to come back. And I'm like, oh, wow. It's only for you guys. I would never do that. I said, you guys have lost it. This is the only trek I'm going to do it. I'm not going to come back again ever. I've done it. It's been marked on my list. And it's not funny. The moment I entered a city while coming back from the first trek, uh-huh. I was like, gosh, my head started vibrating like how? And I could, and I'm like, I was so spaced and suddenly what's that going on? And that's when I could like, wow. I have a potency of picking, and that's when I realized how a SpongeBob picks all the vibrations and stuff. And that was amazing. And I was like, God, why do you have to come here? And there was so much of a noise and stuff. And that's when I thought, oh, nothing belongs to me. How my head picks the signals. That is amazing. And I,
That's absolutely amazing. And I know that I recently was at a ranch in Texas and there was a lot of space, like a lot of land, acre, you know, hundreds of acres. And the peace and the quiet and just, it really is amazing how nature contributes to us. And I love what you shared with us about asking everything to contribute to your body and contributing to every single step you were taking as you were doing your trek. And I wonder, like, and so tapping into that communion that you were experiencing with the mountain, with nature, with earth, you know, Yes, and it really, truly is. So when you are in an area that has, you know, like obviously Mount Everest doesn't have anybody living there. So it's very pure nature with no human beings. And then you come back to a city where there's, you know, literally can be tens of thousands or millions of people living there. And you can feel your body kind of constrict and you know, you can all of a sudden you might have, you know, you were happy and then the next second you're like irritated over something or, you know, all of these different feelings and thoughts and emotions can come rushing through you. So for you to bring up the difference that you were aware of from Mount Everest and then coming to a city, that is quite interesting. So what was your body doing and what was your body showing you with all of that?
So it was like, you know, when I was coming, and that was another thing which happened around that same trek was, you know, I realized how much of the perseverance I had because, you know, by the end of the trek when I was coming and most of the people, we were almost 20 people, mm-hmm. out of which only 10 or 12 of us could make it back, walking back again.
Most of
them felt sick, and they were seasonal trekkers, and you know, you have that AMS and stuff.
Okay, I'm sorry. So if you can't make it back, you actually are airlifted off the mountain in a helicopter?
Yeah, so yes.
Oh, wow.
It's an emergency airlift, and my room partner had that, and she was a seasonal trekker. And I'm like, excuse me, I'm here for the first time. And I was like, wow, what's going on? And then I'm like, more connected to everything. And I was like, you know, looking at everyone, and they're like, you're doing pretty well. And I was like, no, everybody's walking so fast. They say, you don't have to walk fast. But there was a trekker mate who was quite, he was much elder to me, and he kept walking step by step, and I kept looking at him. And he kept telling me, you know, you can keep walking. You don't have to stop. You have to just breathe. You're not going to die. I'm like, yeah, thank you. And I kept following him. And I'm like, okay, what's the hurry? I'm like, it's here. Enjoy it. There's no competition.
And, it wasn't a race.
My knee went... Yeah, it wasn't a race, but for me, it was like, oh, I have to test my, you know, stamina. I should do well. And that was like, at that point, you know, my knee kind of went away because it was my first trek. I had no clue what it was. And then I was like, hey, but then I never gave up. And, you know, my friends, co-trekkers helped me laugh around and kept me busy because they could see that, you know, I was somewhere in my world is like very slow and kind of giving up, and then they come and started talking to me, and I'm like, yeah, sure, and we kept laughing, and I could make it till the last. But you know, I never somehow deep within I was like, no, I'm gonna do it. And you know, the moment I finished the trek, it was like, wow, I desire to do this more often. And you know, I had done two more tedious Kanchenjunga base camp in India. Then mm-hmm. I went for that, and it was like a 15-day trek. What I did the first trek, then I did that for another 15 days. I did Bhutan, I did then Everest base camp now, and I did. So this was my second time, and now because it's called Everest base camp, it got more noticed by people in the world. But mm-hmm. that is another route to the Everest. So this probably brings me so much. It gets me so close to life because, you know, it's like when you're trekking, you get to know so many, so much about you, the capacities you have, and, you know, you find you have a target in the mountains to move, you know, how many steps you have to take, how much you have to walk for every day to achieve the target you're looking for. So similarly,
and what is,
in life,
what is the target?
So the target is if I have to reach Everest base camp in certain days, how mm-hmm. do I go? What step, how much do I have to walk each day? And after this, you know, so it's like, and it's like not that if I it's not that the failure is important or it's failing is like, it's like falling is not failing, right? So you're just walking. But then it's like a target that I would like to reach the Everest base camp within so many days. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I can go away and I can stop anywhere in the mountains and keep going at the speed I would like to go, which I probably might not reach. So also that gives me a more perspective of looking at life that, oh my, so when you have a target and you're so happy and joyful about that target, you do not know how the world, how the universe and everything conspires you to show the way, and you do not make those issues and, you know, all the tough periods while trekking a problem. Mm-hmm. They're like a possibility. They're like, okay, just reach. You have to reach. This is the target. Today I have to cover 4 hours, and this is a height I have to cover. I have to cover whatever it takes me to do. Whether I do like a tortoise speed or I do a rabbit speed, it's my choice.
Yeah.
But this has to be done.
Well, how many days the trekking is like, that's the definition of walking, or people who are hiking, is that what trekking is?
No, the trekking is you have to be walking through all the mountains to reach that point at the base point. Mm-hmm. From there, you start hiking up.
Okay.
To the mountain. So the base camp is where you need to walk through all the mountains. Mm-hmm. And they're also at a certain height. So it's almost 17,000 feet. You have to go up before you start hiking. From zero level to going to 17,000 feet. It's quite an amazing target.
Holy moly.
It's like, can I do it? And the best part of it was, Betsy, I never thought what it was. I just knew I had to go. And people ask me, why did you choose such a tough trek? Your first trek is such a tough trek. I'm like, I don't know what tough means. I just knew I had to trek.
Wow.
And I didn't know there would be, you know, and I'm so glad I didn't have any point of view. I did not have any projection of what it is going to be. And it was a total surprise, total gift every moment. Had I known, I would have not able to climb it.
Right.
With the same route where... So it's like, it's a gift, you know, and we want to know everything in our life beforehand. We want to conclude it before, which kills us.
That is so true. We're at our first break. Thank you so much for listening in today. And we will be back to hear more about the adventures of climbing and trekking and life with my guest, Arda Hanna. And we'll be back soon.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm gonna return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to Imperfect Brilliance. We are having such an amazing conversation today with my guest, Aradhana Tawani, and we are talking about doing the impossible. And right before our break, you were telling us about you are so glad that you, number one, you didn't listen to anybody else's opinion about why in the world are you doing this, let alone starting with such a enormous mountain to climb, or it's really not even a mountain. What is it considered? It's because it's beyond a normal mountain, right?
Yeah.
and so you don't believe that there's anything you cannot do. And I love that attitude, right? So even as a child, you really desire to do this, and you did not take no for an answer. So could you talk a little bit more about, because a lot of people, if they hear no, they'd be like, okay. And especially if, as a child, because we all know how children are with asking, and it's not like you only ask one and then once and then stop. You know, you ask this person. If this person says no, you go to that person. And if that person says no, you go to this person. So you, I'm sure, asked to do this a lot of times, and you were confronted with a lot of no's. And at some point, a lot of people would have given up. So could you share with us, like, what that is for you and how you don't give up?
Yeah, so it's, thank you. So it's also, idea that I've always been called a stubborn girl. So I kept on, and I never gave up in within half, you know, I could not. Mm-hmm. And I kept asking. So I'm very grateful. I'm an actor. And, they give all these tools. We have these tools in our.
Join us. Oh, there you are. Okay. Sorry, honey. You disappeared for a minute. So if you can start over with saying, never giving up.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So the never giving up aspect was that I always trusted what I know. It's like, trust yourself what you know. And maybe that was not the time. And it was in my heart, like, okay, if the mountains really love me and I have something to do with the mountains, I would reach there one day.
Wow.
And how it shows up, when it shows up, you really do not know. And it's that the opportunity just comes and bangs on your door. If you hold it, you make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that. And I remember my grandma told the opportunity only knocks once, and then it never shows back. And I'm like, wow. So it was like the moment I heard Everest, it rang. My body went amazingly joyful. I'm like, am I going? Yes, I'm going. And that's it. So it's also, I always saw spiders, creating their webs. I loved watching them. And, and I kept seeing them, how they're falling and getting up, and then creating that beautiful web. And it's so intricate. It's amazing to look at the result. So I'm like, if they can do and have that patience, why could I not have it? So in my deep within, I never give up whatever I've kind of thought of. And it's easy to give up. That's not fun for me.
Yeah.
So it's like, I always like, everything is easy to give up. To hold it is something which is really different in my world. So I'm like, okay, easy everybody can do. What if I can do what nobody can do?
Wow. I thought you were done. One of the things that you sent me was talking about once you cross from uncomfortable, the joy and the beauty is unexplainable, and that the thrill and the adrenaline rush that seeps in, and you become amazed at your capacity to choose greater.
Yes. So it's a beauty, you know, when I reached that Everest, this time again, you know, there was, so I took this Everest base camp again, and the half of the way towards the Everest base camp was exactly the same I did in the first go.
Okay.
So that started being boring for me. That started being boring, and I was like, would I like to do it? And what is it that I'm doing it again for? And then I went to my captain, Manindra Kohli, and I asked him, I was like, hey, why am I doing it? I just did it 2 years back. He said, no, it's a different way, and now it's Everest base camp. I said, okay. He goes, keep it on, we'll go, and let's see what it creates. And then we go further, let's see. And the moment I stepped into that zone, which I hadn't done, and the different path then we took, oh my God, it was so beautiful. No pictures can capture that. That thrill, and I was like, I did it, and I'm here, and you were 360 degree covered with beautiful, big, huge mountains of ice. So that was a breathtaking view, which probably I could have not ever done it otherwise, if I would have not walked until then. So it's like, you know, I was very comfortable in wherever, but the moment I stepped beyond my comfort zone, it was into that uncomfortability. Okay, let me go ahead and play with it. Oh my God, the beauty. Life is so beautiful. And it's like, okay, I'll do it again. You know, now it's like, okay, what else? If I could do this, now what else can I do?
My goodness.
Like, what else?
Yeah.
What else?
Well, and then the other thing that's kicking in, absolutely, and the sheer beauty of what you must have witnessed, which, you know, photographs just cannot do the magnificence, you know, like total due justice of the magnificence and the splendor of what you were, you know, and so few people in the world have actually stood where you stood and experienced what you experienced. So,
yes.
I mean, I just, like, such amazing kudos to you and congratulations. And for the things that you've shared with us already is, you know, falling is not failing. And so that is just a beautiful, beautiful thing is like, no, falling is not failing. Imagine, like, even with children, as they're learning to walk, if, you know, the first time they fell, you know, and they're very, you know, they're almost like little, you know, they're just so wobbly, right? And so they wobble and they fall down and they get back up and they do it again and again and again until they're running around the house and you can barely keep up with them, right? So they definitely don't have an attitude that falling is failing. So I love that you brought that in. Like, it is not failing to fall. And, you know, even if you have a moment where you're on that mountain going, what in the heck did I do? I can't do this. That's okay, too. But just keep going, right? And that, like, so having that perseverance of, yes, I can do this. And let me show myself what I actually can do beyond what I think that I can do.
Yeah. And also, when I was doing it, and, you know, my friend very beautifully put, she was mentioning to somebody, and I was, like, present with everybody who's talking there, and I was like, okay. And she said, what is it? It's just that we have to walk up there. It's just a walk. If you cannot do, you can come back. I was like, wow, that's so amazing. Yeah, it's just a walk, regular walk. If I cannot do, I can come back any given point of time.
A regular walk up the summit.
Yes,
I love it though.
You know, don't make it bigger than you, right? Not making it bigger than anything.
And so it's like literally one step at a time, right? It's one step at a time.
Correct. And I'm so thankful to that friend of mine all the time, and I'm always showing my, you know, gratitude to her. I'm like, hey, thank you for saying that, because I overheard it. And I'm like, wow, I'm having it. And yeah, it's just one step. And I remember in between these two treks to the Everest, I went to the Kanchenjunga, and I was the first one who was reaching, you know, we were the three or the four people who were reaching the base camp at the camp every day earlier. And after 4 days, I fell ill. And after 4 days, I go sick. And I wonder why I got sick. And I'm like, wow. And I never thought I'm dying. So everybody was shocked to see me that she was doing so good. She is such an amazing trekker, and what's going on with her? And I'm like, no, I'm doing it. We'll go. And when I came back to Delhi, I was diagnosed with dengue fever, which I probably carried from Delhi when I was from my hometown to the hills. But at no given point of time, I gave up. I was without food for almost 4 days, and I kept walking. And I remember going, and when I was returning that last day, I had to be carried back on somebody's back. The porters had to carry me back, because last day I was like, hey, guys, I cannot walk today. And, you know, it was so beautiful. I just asked the mountains. I said, hey, guys, can you contribute me reaching my hometown today? Would it be possible for you? And this guy shows up, who says, I can carry him on my back. He carry this girl on my back. And that was amazing. And then I was like, I'm not coming back for 14 days trek anymore. It's enough. But then the moment I was home, this Everest base camp showed up. I'm like, hey, guys, I'm going back again.
Well, that's so funny. Wow. It's 14 day. It was a 14 day trek.
Yes.
Wow. You did two different 14 day treks.
I've done 6 to 7 treks, in which 3 to 4 treks have been 14 days.
Wow. Wow. So realizing even the piece of asking, realizing when you did actually need to ask for assistance from other people and being willing to do that. Yeah.
Correct. So it was not like I cannot ask for it. And, you know, it's like amazing experience of that just asking. And everybody was taken care so beautifully, and I was so pampered. And it's funny in my world that when I was, I saw somebody being carried, and I was like, oh, nobody can ever carry a body like me who's so tall and, you know, well-built. And I wonder anybody can ever pick up my boyfriend or my husband, anybody would ever be able to pick me up in their arms. And it's so funny, you never know how it gets created. And from the base camp, when I'm coming back, I was being carried. And I'm like, what's right about it? And, you know, I never got into the wrongness that why I could not do it. And then I'm like, oh, God, I asked for it. And here it is. So these two little guys are picking me up and taking me home. I loved it, every bit of it.
Wow. It doesn't. It never shows up the way you think it's going to show up. And, you know, being willing to ask for contribution when you knew you required it, instead of, you know, like not, and then who knows what that might have, well, you know, done to your body if you had tried to push beyond, you know, where you were in that moment in time. So, and even in that, there's perseverance in that. And that's not giving up. That's, you know, being honoring of, you know, where you are in that moment.
Yes, totally. So climbing is a beautiful experience. And, you know, if you keep asking, keep being in an allowance of you, not judging you, moving at every step, and acknowledging everybody and everything around, it makes it so easy peasy.
Wow. Yeah, and I can only imagine that you must have amazing communication with every person that you were with.
Yes, totally. And they're my best buddies around, because you have seen each other in thick and thin, and you don't have to pretend to be what you are, right? What you're not, and you're just walking up, and you're in the worst clothes, you're in the worst phases, and you're in different modes, because you have everything, all the kind of emotions showing up at that height. And everybody's in allowance of each other and still being there for each other. That made me have tears in my eyes every trek I've been.
I bet
how it did. How amazingly people are willing to offer for their help and taking care of you. And, you know, they forget who they are. They are just simple beings.
Yeah, there's not going to be any separation in the mountains. And it doesn't matter who you are, what you do for a living, you know, how much money you make, how much money you don't make, you know, and all of that disappears, right? And you literally are in total communion with each other and in total gratitude for everything that is going on. And that is such a beautiful energy that you are conveying to all of us. And I'm actually getting chills right now just even saying all of this. So I'm so grateful that you are sharing this amazing experience with us.
There's so much to share, Betsy. Like, I mean, I sometimes now feel like sense that you keep writing each, every experience, every moment. It's an experience in itself. And it's actually just, I just always say that just be willing to be uncomfortable. You know, there's so much of gift in it. There's so much of fun in it. And that's when I see that, you know, when we stop having that fun in our lives, that's when we look for artificial substances in our life, you know, maybe drugs or alcohol or whatever substances we need to, or television, or, you know, because we are not getting that adrenal rush from day-to-day activity. But then if you go out, play with what makes you actually joyful, it just creates more. So, you know, it's, I'd rather be comfortable. Sorry.
All right, you guys, here's our second break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Thank you so much for listening in.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi, everyone. We're back talking today with Ardhana about doing the impossible and never saying no, overcoming obstacles, getting up when you fall down and it's not failing, keep going, never, ever giving up. We've talked about communion with the earth. We've talked about gratitude and so many other things. And this conversation is so amazing to me. And before we, because I know before we know it, it's going to be the end of the show. So I would like to take a moment for everyone, if they're interested in reaching out to you, because I know you do coaching and you do facilitating and all kinds of amazing things. How can people find you?
So I have a website, aradhnatipari.com, and I also have the Be the Change page on the Facebook.
Be the Change on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's the Facebook page I have. And I have a WhatsApp group with Be the Change as well. And then, of course, website has my number and contacts. And my email ID is Aradhna, A-R-A-D-H-A-N-A. N-A-N-D-A, aradhnananda@yahoo.com.
Wonderful.
And my phone number is 9811991104.
And you India. Are based in India, right?
Yes.
So it's actually, I think we're like 13 or 14 hours difference or something. So it's just so fun to really be a playmate with people from around the world, and I absolutely love it. So, and then I will take a moment to invite people if they would like to connect with me. My email address is accessbetsy, which is betsy@gmail.com. And you can, of course, find me on Facebook through my name or through Imperfect Brilliance. And I also have a website that is creatingyumminess.com. And I've got all kinds of classes kind of always going, and I know you do as well. So we invite you. You can also find us on the Access Consciousness website if you're looking for, other things and we can certainly do custom classes. We do Being You classes, which are so much fun, and lots of different things. So feel free to reach out to us and explore possibilities. And wow. So one of the things right before we had to go to break, sorry, my mother's puppy has a squeaky toy in the background. Sorry, guys. And now he's running away. So if you heard squeaking, that's what that was. And talk about, living life to the fullest. Boy, when you see a puppy, they're full on, and they have no point of view. If they stumble, if they fall, they get back up. They just live life to the fullest, and they have such an amazing joy. And so you were talking right as we went to break about that, like talking about if you don't have joy in your life, like if you're not in that space, then people will turn to an artificial substance, could be drugs, could be alcohol or something else, to try to find that thrill, and sometimes it's even an escape, right? So it could be a thrill. It could be using it as an escape. And so what could you offer to the listeners about what, if they would like to choose something different? And talking about, you've talked a lot today about adventure, joy, and thrill, and not getting comfortable. So what else could you share with us?
So I also would say, because another aspect is having that adventure attitude. So, having, be willing to play with every and any energy. And, people would say a lot of stuff, as you asked me earlier also, that you never gave and you never quit. But also, if you have that attitude in your life and what you know about yourself, if you can hold on to it and, everybody is gifting what they're gifting as their point of view. But if you actually be present with what you desire and have that adventure attitude within you, you can keep going. Mm. So I was like once I had to go for another trek to Bhutan. And, after my first trek, I created a knee pain. And I had it for a year. And I really wanted to do Bhutan. Mm. And my body kept saying, do Bhutan. And I went to various doctors. And every doctor said, no, now you should stop. You should not do this. This is not the age to do trekking. I'm like 45. And people said, no, this is no age. And I was like, no, I'm trekking with people who are 55, 60. So what are you talking about the age? This is no, you should give up, or otherwise your knees would give up later in life. And I'm like, wow. So I canceled my flight, but that wasn't light in my world. It wasn't giving me joy. And in the last minute, I met with my friends, and I decided, I was like, that's not light. So the moment I asked my body, hey, body, can you take me to Bhutan? Would it be fun? And my body was, yes. I said, can we take care of this knee pain? So my body is my best friend. So I spoke to it, and it's like, yes, let's go. And I'm like, okay, you take care of the knee pain. I'm going. I'll take medicines. I'll take whatever is required. I am going. And a day earlier, I booked my flight. I joined the trek. And there I totally forgot where the knee pain is. And I climbed, and it was the most fun trek I ever had. I never felt at any point I was trekking. And ever since after that, I have never created a knee pain. And people kept asking me, how are you? I'm like, what do you mean, how am I? He said, no, you had that knee pain, you were canceling your plan, and you could join. I said, oh, I forgot. I totally forgot. I don't even remember I have a knee pain, which was going on for a year, and I was canceling. So, you know, when I looked for my joy, I followed my joy. This is what I created. And my body was like, hello, yes, here I contribute.
But so many people they would have even just given up. They would have been like, well, I canceled the trip and said, you know, I can't go because I've got this pain going on. And so you had, again, we talked about communion and communion with your own body. And really talking to your body and saying, hey, can we do this? And, you know, what is required here? And to know that your body is your best friend and that it's not going to let you down, you know, and it's going to communicate with you, to you, what it requires. That's just amazing.
Yeah, because that's unique to you. And that was unique to me. I knew my body. I knew the whole excitement and the joy of it, and I was meeting doctors after doctors because I was so wanting to go for this trek, and they said no. I'm like what the, I'm willing to lose my knee, I'm willing to lose everything, this is creating fun for me.
So
and I did it.
So once again, and then, you didn't,
and then
take
after
no
that answer. So it's like you always have the answer within you. You're trying to find a match, and when it doesn't match it, and you still choose to do what you do. So if you acknowledge it, that you know what you know, and you follow your knowing with total joy and ease, what fun it is. Oh my God.
Wow.
It's just creates.
And really, like, following your knowing, and there's so much there of truly knowing what you can do and what you're capable of. And wow, there's so much information there.
Yeah. So that's that's an adventure attitude, I call it. It's like, yeah, if I choose it, and it's fun for me, it's joy for me, I will choose it, whatever it takes me to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mine does overtake. So I did cancel my tickets, but then, you know, and then I'm like, no, that's not fun. He might scare me.
Well, so you canceled your tickets and then you bought some more, right? Like, and so just in that willingness to, in that, a lot of people could look at that as like, well, I canceled my tickets, that's going to cost me more money, so I'm not going to do it. And that's kind of in that same vein of, hey, I might have fallen down, but I'm not failing. I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep going. And however it shows up, it's showing up. And so there's so much in that to, you know, not, and that's really when you can get out of your own way of being like a control freak or having to know how the journey's going to end before you even start. And, you know, like overcoming illnesses, injuries to your body, you know, not being able to walk for part of the trek. None of those things stopped you from doing what you truly desire to do. And there's, you know, that's kind of a metaphor for life, isn't it? You know, there's going to be a lot of things along the way that can knock you down and have you, you know, you can choose to lock yourself up in your house and never do anything. Or you can choose to be comfortable and embrace all of the trials and tribulations and illnesses and all the things that show up in our lives. And then what do you do with it? You know? So,
I would say that if you have a clarity in your head, nothing can stop you. It's you who can stop you. Nobody other than you can stop you.
That's so true. Nobody but you so for can me, stop you. Well,
yes. I mean, no money, and people can make money as a reason. They can make their husband as a reason, their family as a reason. But they're hiding behind it. That's it. Because they're actually not willing to choose it. Choose you and you'll have the fun of life.
Choose you and you will have the fun of life. Wow. That is so beautiful. So I wonder for anybody who is listening to this, who might be saying, wow, there's some areas of my life where I'm not choosing me. That's okay. You know? And what would it take to not judge you for anything that you're realizing, hey, maybe I haven't been choosing me? And what could you do now to choose you? And with no judgment, right? No judgment along the way.
And it's never too late. There's no age to it. There's no time to it. Just a choice.
Right. It's never too late. Wow. And so I'm certain that you apply all of these things that we've talked about to every facet of your life. And what has that created for you?
So I've always looked life as like a beautiful, I find life beautiful, inspiring. I know everything is easy. So in my world, everybody finds everything is so easy. And it is so true. I mean, I do not find issues or problems. I mean, I don't make anything bigger and greater than me. So I have that ease and the joy of life and the eye to look life beautifully, intricately, and being grateful to life. I mean, I just love life. It brings so much. I'm enjoying every moment of it.
Wow.
So that becomes an invitation for a lot of people who are around me. They're like, hey, how do you manage to choose so much? I'm like, really? I think I have yet to choose so much more. And you know, a lot of people who do not know, I mean, even my actual friends, they're like, oh, do you have that side of yours? I said, of course. I mean, I have so much. I mean, I keep asking each day, now what? Now what? My posts on my personal page are always like, I did this, I had this fun, and now what?
Yes. Yes. So it's
never enough for me.
So it's always saying yes, and there's always more, and there's always new mountains to explore, whether you're, you know, like whatever that mountain is for you. And, you know, like this, it could be a literal mountain, like your trek to Mount Everest and the other summits that you have trekked to, or it could be, you know, cleaning your house, right? So whatever it is for you, how much joy can you infuse into every single thing you choose and embrace the beauty of life? And I love that attitude. It's really amazing. And thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you for having me and giving the space where I could actually, you know, share. And I always ask, and it's so funny, I asked them, I'm like, would anybody like to hear about my climbing experience ever? And then the team messages me, would you like to be on my show? I was like, yay. Ask, and that is how easy it is.
Oh my God. Right.
Thank you.
Well, that's amazing.
That's what I've created. As you asked, what do I create for my life when I'm using these tools? This is how easy it is for me. I just asked because I was going to somebody's radio show. I'm like, why? What's going to take for somebody to call me for the radio show? And next day you message. I'm like, hey, thank you. There you go. Everything is magical. Everything is there.
Thank you so much for playing with us today. Everything is magical. And just ask and be grateful for everything in your life. And have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for playing with us today. I'm so grateful. Have a great week, everyone.